Men, will you take your Bibles and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5?
Where we've been the last couple of weeks, and we're finishing up this study tonight. Ephesians chapter 5. The fullness of Christ. This is part 3. So we'll begin reading in verse 18 down through 21. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. And Lord, I know that there are many needs in our church body. I just continue to pray for healing in Preston and Cheryl's life. I thank you, Lord, that they're doing better. I just pray, Father, that you will. We just praise you that Jimmy gave his heart to you this past weekend. I just thank you for that, Lord. What a blessing. And I pray for my friend Randy. I just pray right now for him and his wife Jenna. I pray especially for Randy's health as he's in critical condition. And I just pray, Lord, that the doctors and nurses and everyone who attends will be able to help him out. And I pray, Father, you'll just give him strength to make it through this tragic thing that he's been through, the car wreck. And I just pray, Father, that you'll heal his body. And Lord, I know that you're in control and you love him so much and you love Jenna. And I know that you're watching over him. And I pray, Father, that you'll just use this, Father, as a place of testimony in his own life of what you've done. And I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the last couple of weeks we looked at the contrast. Don't be drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit. That's the command, by the way, is to be filled with the Spirit. It's not a suggestion. It's not something that God says. It'd be nice if you'd get filled with the Spirit. It's a part of living in Christ and being full of Christ is being filled with the Holy Spirit. So tonight we're going to look at the consequences. I use the word consequences simply because it starts with a C. When we think of consequences, we usually think of something that's bad towards us, but consequence is anything that happens as a result of something else. And the result of being filled with wine brings on debauchery. But the consequence of being filled with the Spirit brings forth amazing things in our lives. And so we're going to take a look at that tonight. First of all, we want to look at, and we looked at this already, that there's an inward result because of the Holy Spirit in us. And we have this desire to sing praises to God, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Because the Lord is in us, it should give us such a desire to praise Him. And I think that we don't praise God enough. I think I don't praise God enough. I need to praise Him more and more and more because He's done so much for us. He's forgiven us completely. He's given us life and hope and joy and all the things that the Holy Spirit brings into our lives. And I'm not ashamed to start singing about that. I don't always sound great when I sing, but I don't mind singing because it's to him it's a beautiful melody. The upward result is actually saying thanks to God. Look at what it says in verse 20. It says, always giving thanks. Now, how often are we to give thanks? Always. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me just throw in something here. When you read that passage and you hear what it says, to give thanks to God always, give thanks to God the Father for what? Everything. Everything. What about the bad stuff that happens? I thank God for it because He allows it for a reason. God is in the process of doing His work in our lives in every single thing. One who is filled with the Spirit gives thanks to God for everything. Psalms 100 verse 4 says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name." Nowhere in that passage does it say, enter the gates with thanksgiving and then you can talk about other stuff that's not that great and then you can get... No. We are to enter his presence. Enter into the presence of God with thanksgiving and praise. Be thanking him and praising him. What is the source of our thanksgiving? I like how Chuck Swindoll puts it. I believe being thankful is the single greatest act of personal worship a Christian can render to God. The single greatest act of personal worship that we can render to God is being thankful. I mean, if we don't have a thankful spirit towards God, then we're missing the whole point of what he's done for us. So here's just a few passages we're going to look at. James chapter 1. I like this one. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. In other words, every good and perfect gift comes from him. Every good and perfect gift. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. Job chapter 1, verse 21. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Now, do you know when Job said that? Right after most of his family was killed. And most of his livestock was taken away. And Job says, hey, I didn't have anything when I came. And when I go, I won't be taking anything with me. The Lord gives. The Lord takes away. Either way, I'm going to praise the name of the Lord. Wow. I wonder if we would say something like that if something happened like that to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. All this is for your benefit so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to what? Overflow to the glory of God. Now, let me ask you a question. Just to be thinking about this idea. Let's say you weren't a member of this church and you were looking for a church home or a place to worship the Lord and you went to one place and everybody there just sat there and, you know, and during the songs they just sang the hymns and didn't do anything and you know, they didn't even really take much time to say hi to you or anything. It was almost like they were there because they were supposed to be. And then you went and visited another place and everybody that you saw there were happy and full of God's joy and they were excited about things that were happening in their life and they were sharing it with other people and they even asked you if you had anything that you needed and they were full of the joy of the Lord. Now, which church do you think you'd rather be a part of? The joy of the Lord, the Scripture says, is our strength. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 11 and 12 and then 15. You'll be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it's also overflowing in many expressions of what? Thanks to God. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. I mean, when you stop and look at how many times in Scripture it tells us that we ought to be thanking God, I mean, that's what we ought to be doing. We ought to be thanking God. We ought to have hearts that are so full of thanks towards God. When we thank God, we bring Him glory. The source of our thanksgiving is knowing Him and allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us. The specifics of thanksgiving. Look at what it says in verse 20. It says, always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When are we supposed to be giving thanks to God? Always. Why are we supposed to be giving thanks to God? Because thankfulness recognizes that God is the giver of all good things and He's completely in control. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You know, I've had people come to me before and say, man, I'm having a hard time trying to figure out what what God's will for my life is. And I'll turn them to this passage and I'll say, you're to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's not necessarily God's will that you do and perform certain things and go certain places and do all these things. It's God's will that you give thanks in all circumstances. Why? Because God speaks through that to other people. When? Always. Why? Because thankfulness recognizes God's in complete control. Where? Well, it's easy to give God thanks after a victory that's been won, but we need to be able to thank Him for the trials that are just beginning and for the ones that are ongoing. John chapter 11, verses 39 through 44, it says, take away the stone. Now, he's talking about Lazarus being dead. Now, Jesus knew that Lazarus had already died, but he waited 3 days before he even got there. And when he got there, it says, take away the stone. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor, for he's been in there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you would believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you were always here. You always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And somebody said, why did he call Lazarus by name? Because if he hadn't, every dead person in that area would have come forth. Lazarus, come forth. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped in strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. We need to be thanking the Lord even for the trials that we're going through. In the midst of these are the most difficult times to be thankful to God. Honestly, we love to thank God when something great happens, but when something difficult that we're going through, it's very hard to thank Him, isn't it? And yet that's the time we can thank Him the most, because we know that He loves us, He cares for us, He provides for us, and He will always do so. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Daniel had just been told, hey, listen, no more prayers to anybody except to the emperor, to the king. You can't pray to your God. You can't pray to any other God. You can't do it. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home upstairs to his room where the windows were open toward Jerusalem, and 3 times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, doing what? Giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. That's what he was doing. 3 times a day, he was right in front of his window where everybody else could see, but he was thanking God. Now, how can you thank God when you've been told you can't do this anymore? Because he knew God was greater than anybody else. And he knew no matter what happened, he was going to continue to watch over him. We know the result. When the king heard about it, he had told that if anybody had done that, they'd be thrown into the lions. And he didn't want that to happen to Daniel, but he made the statement in front of everybody else, and so he had to. And so he had Daniel thrown in the lion's den. And we know what happened there. He sat there with the kitty cats all night long. And when the morning came, the emperor rushed to the side and looked in and said, Daniel, are you okay? Daniel said, yep, I'm doing fine. Doing just fine. Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. We see the same kind of thing in Jonah's life. From inside the fish, think about this, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, in my distress I called to the Lord and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead I called for help and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. And all your waves and breakers swept over me. And I said, I've been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me, and deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. And when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord. My prayer rose to you and your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise in the middle of the sea, in the belly of oil, I will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto the dry land. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 3 and 4. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding of your blood. In other words, listen, if Jesus did what he did for you, what can you do for him? Acts chapter 5, verses 40 through 42. His speech persuaded them, and they called the apostles in and had them flogged. And then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go, Peter and John. The apostles left the Sanhedrin, what? Crying and, you know, weeping over the beating that they had gotten? No. They left rejoicing because they'd been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts, from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. Where are people like that today? Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14 and verse 18. Now I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I'm in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is being preached. And because of this, what? I rejoice. Says that how many times in Philippians? 14. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. You see, Paul, he'd faced all kinds of obstacles, but he still rejoiced. The what of this scripture? It says we are to praise God for what? All things. Do you need some help? Well, here's a few things we can begin praising Him for today. We can praise Him for His goodness and His mercy to us. We can praise Him for His gift of salvation. We can praise His power in our lives. We can praise His working of the Holy Spirit, His victory over sin and death, His provision for us, His peace that passes all understanding. That's just a good place to start, folks. I mean, we don't have to go very far to start looking at things that we can begin thanking God and rejoicing in Him. How should we be doing it? Well, the Scripture says, for the joy. For the joy, the rejoicing in it. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, we fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. Think about that. What was the joy? What was the joy? To endure the cross? The joy was what would happen on the cross. He brings salvation to every single person. Scorning its shame, He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Seeing it from God's perspective changes a thankless life into a thankful life. Maybe you feel God hasn't given you something you desire. It is because what He desires is always better than what we desire. Psalm 37:4 says, take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. In other words, He'll change your heart to desire what He wants for you more than anything else. And who are we to be thankful to, rejoicing in? To God the Father. We ought to always be remembering that every single thing that happens to us in our life, whether we think it's good or bad, has been allowed by the Father, the God of the universe, and the one who is our Father who loves us. Well, what happens then when we begin to be people who rejoice in the Lord no matter what? Well, the outward result is when we thank God openly, it brings Him glory. And that's what we need to be doing. That's the purpose for us. It gets the attention off of us and onto Him where it needs to be. That's what the Feast of Israel were all about. The Feast of Pentecost was thanking him for his provision. The Feast of Trumpets was thanking him for his forgiveness. The Feast of Tabernacles was thanking him for his protection. The Feast of Lights was thanking him for his promise. The Feast of Purim was thanking him for his deliverance. On and on it goes in Scripture, reminding us of why we ought to be thankful. And then, not only the outward result, but the onward result. In other words, is this supposed to happen one time in our life? No, it's supposed to happen continually. Psalm chapter 34, verse 1 says, I will extol the Lord, when? At all times. His praise will always be on my lips. Boy, what an amazing thing would happen in our lives if we were just people who continually praised God. Consciously. The very next psalm, Psalm 35, verse 18, says, I will give you thanks in the great assembly. Among the throngs I will praise you. And then Jeremiah 33:11 says, the sounds of joy and gladness, the voices of the bride and the bridegroom, the voices of those who bring thank offerings in the house of the Lord, saying, give thanks to the Lord Almighty, for the Lord is good. His love endures forever. For I will restore the fortunes of the land as they were before, says the Lord. And corporately. You see, when we gather together as the people of God, we ought to be joining together in worship and praise. Verse 21. In this passage it says this, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. In other words, out of worship to Him. Last week tonight, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. When we give up of ourselves, when we finally release ourselves to Him completely, then He will fill us up with His Spirit. And Jesus said it like this. He says, streams of living water will flow from you. That's what God wants from us. We are to be conduits of the Holy Spirit into a land that is looking for some kind of hope. We have the hope. The hope is Jesus. Amen? Amen. Well, let's pray. Father, thank You so much again that You want to fill us with Yourself so that we don't stand out anymore. We don't need to stand out anymore. What we need is to honor You and exalt You and lift You up and praise You and worship You as You deserve. Father, why would we be so self-centered when we say that we are Yours? Lord, I pray that You will cause us to be people that will follow You no matter what. We will praise You no matter what. And we will continue to praise You no matter what, in the good times and the bad, because we know that You are God. And we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.